Later this morning, our church school children will be presenting the story that we've heard over the last 3 weeks during Holy Week and Easter in the form of pageant. And we at 8 o'clock often miss out on this wonderful event, so I decided that we should have our own little Easter pageant this morning through the power of imagination. So I'd invite you to join with me in remembering our spiritual journey that we have been on over the past 2 weeks, and what that might tell us about the meaning of Easter. So let's begin by traveling back to Palm Sunday. Imagine that you're a disciple traveling with Jesus as he enters Jerusalem in glory. Try to feel that your contentment, security, and exaltation, the excitement to the very bottom of your bones as Jesus comes into his own. Can you imagine being part of this excitement and wanting it, wanting this moment to go on forever? Fast forward a few days. Now imagine that you are, and the other disciples are in the upper room. It's Thursday, the night before Passover. Jesus is with you, but somehow he seems a little different. Gone is the excitement and exultation that he exuded last Sunday. It's hard to make sense of what he's saying and doing this night. Saying something about betrayal, washing feet, and talking about serving one another. Then proclaiming that the bread and the wine at dinner is his body and blood. Can you feel a sense of confusion? Concern, maybe bewilderment. Remember those moments later on, that evening in the garden, when Jesus is going off by himself into the darkness alone, and there in the garden you fell asleep, only to be rudely awakened by a commotion as a bunch of soldiers and officers disrupted the peacefulness of the garden. And Judas ran up and kissed him. The officers arrested him, put handcuffs on him, and led him away. Your heart in your mouth, you ran blindly into the darkness, fleeing for your life, not knowing where you were going or what you were going to do. Can you imagine the fear that must have engulfed you at that moment? When the sun came up the next morning, you discover that Jesus has been condemned and sentenced to be executed. And as you stand anonymously in the crowd of sightseers, you can see Jesus hanging on the cross. You're close enough to hear words coming from his parched lips. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And then a little later, it is finished. And then inexplicably, you hear a loud sigh as he takes his last breath. It escapes from his lips, and he dies. Can you imagine how you are feeling, especially at that moment? I mean, how do you feel when something that you have totally committed yourself to is destroyed before your eyes? What do you do when somebody to whom you have given your total loyalty, in whom rested your hope for a glorious future, is no more? And above all, how do you respond when your immediate reaction at that moment of crisis is to fade into the crowd, run away, and hide? Like an animal. And now imagine 2 days later. It's Sunday, the first day of the week, and you and the other disciples are hiding out once again in that upper room. There's safety in being there with the others. The door to the room is locked, keeping you safe from what's beyond those doors, from the outside. But even so, you jump every time you hear a footstep on the stair or a sound of a voice below. Can you imagine the fear, anxiety, and confusion that must have permeated that room? And to add to your confusion, Mary has just come with the news that the tomb is empty. Peter and the other disciples go with her and come back confirming her suspicion. And they say she has said something about seeing the Lord, but then she's been an emotional basket case these last couple of days, a woman crazy with grief, so who can believe her? And imagine how you're feeling at that particular moment. All of that is simply to say, can you imagine the atmosphere that might have surrounded the disciples in those days just before and following the crucifixion? Can you feel the emotional storm that swept over them and engulfed them on that Sunday night? They're so emotionally drained by grief and confusion that they listen but do not hear. They look, but their gaze is vacant, and there's so much silence trying to make sense of it all. And then there's the guilt, the despair, the devastation, trying to make sense of everything that they have seen and heard. And they seek only the comfort of each other and close themselves off from the rest of the world. Got to be out of sight, out of mind of the authorities. There they are, terrified, traumatized. They live in fear, all-consuming fear. And the kind of fear that grows like a cancer and that just holds you in that infectious grip. And all of that is about to change. Because on this Easter evening, suddenly Jesus stands in your midst and greets you with those simple words, "Peace be with you." And as suddenly as that emotional storm of despair and fear had descended upon you 3 days before, the dawn of hope and joy come to you and the other disciples in an instant. There is joy beyond belief. Uncontained exultation. There is pandemonium. And then he breathes on you and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And in an instant, a wave of peace washes over you. You feel contentment, a deep sense of well-being. Fear, anxiety, and despair are gone in an instant. It's a feeling that you want to last forever. Inexplicable, uncontainable joy and peace. And I just have to ask each of us, have we ever experienced such a moment as that in our own lives? Now, Thomas is not there with you on that Easter evening, when everything for you and the other disciples changed. And as Thomas steps in the room, he's met with an incoherent wave of exultation, and someone blurts out, "We've seen the Lord." And his response is in stark opposition to the joy that you feel. "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Now, so many of us take that as doubt. But I suspect that this is not the statement of a man who does not want to believe. It is not the cynical response of a chronic doubter. Rather, I think Thomas is one who wants to believe. One who has believed deeply and passionately, and yet whose heart has been broken. Grief has consumed him. And he's determined that he will never again risk giving his allegiance to anything or anybody. The pain of loss is just too great. Have you ever felt that kind of pain in your life? The heartache, the emotional numbness that comes when everything in front of you is gone? I think that's the numbness that Thomas must have felt. There are many like Thomas, many for whom experience hurts too deeply, for whom loyalty, devotion, and even love has too often been betrayed. And who are the modern betrayers in our midst? Well, the church perhaps has betrayed us. Perhaps our profession, our children, our parents. Or maybe it's our body and health. Whatever it is, something, somebody, some aspect of life that we thought we could totally trust has proven otherwise. And it seems that in those moments, even God has betrayed us. We reject any offered attempt of hope by well-meaning friends. We would rather sit in our own pain and grief. And in those darkest moments, we cling to our despair because the pain is just too much. And we're determined never to love again, never to trust again, never to hope again. I think that is Thomas. And frankly, I don't think Thomas is any different from any one of us. Thomas is fully human in a moment of crisis. And we have seen Thomas in people we know, and maybe we've seen Thomas in ourselves. And that's who Thomas was on Easter evening. But that was last Sunday, the Sunday of the resurrection, a week ago. Today, we as the disciples are gathered again in that room, and this time Thomas is with us. And before the moment begins, and as the moment begins, Jesus comes to them and says, "Peace be with you." And then comes the invitation, "Thomas, reach out your hand and put it in my side." And for Thomas, with a touch, comes realization. This is real. He is alive. He is risen. And then comes the exaltation. "My Lord and my God." And that is Thomas. And that is his gift to us. And I think that is the true meaning of Easter and the resurrection. The realization and certainty that in our suffering and doubt, we are not alone. For in those moments, God comes to us. God is present with us. God is in communion with us. And in that moment, God offers us peace. For in God's wisdom, in the midst of suffering, we find that joy can spring forth, bringing peace. Cardinal Bernardin, in his book that was written many years ago called The Gift of Peace, a gift he wrote while he was dying of cancer, he writes this: "If the Lord experienced pain and suffering, can we as his disciples expect anything less? No. Like Jesus, we must expect pain. There is, however, a decisive difference between our pain as disciples and that experienced by those who are not the Lord's disciples. As disciples, we suffer in communion with our Lord. And that makes all the difference in the world. For when we embrace that truth, we experience the freedom to let go, to surrender ourselves to the living God, and to place ourselves completely in God's hands." To which I would add, we place ourselves into hands bearing wounds, revealing to us that God in Jesus is with us in our suffering. Knowing and embracing that truth, we can be open to experience the joy that comes with being one with God. And Thomas, recognizing that, blurts out, "My Lord and my God." It was a profound moment indeed for Thomas. And Thomas's response, joy, excitement, jubilation, undoubtedly. But as John reveals to us in this gospel moment, there was something else, something deeper that Thomas experienced. What Thomas experienced in that moment was a profound sense of peace. Peace. Shalom. Peace is that state of being when we are truly content, when we know who we are, and we rejoice in the life that God has given us. Peacefulness, therefore, is a moment of thanksgiving when we are truly grateful to be alive. And yet it is more. Peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but rather the confidence that he is with us always. Peace consists not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. Peace is not the absence of struggle, but the presence of love. Peace is a state of being beyond our understanding, and we find it in the most unlikely places. It is not surprising then that when we feel most peace, when we are in the presence of people whom we love and trust. And Jesus is one of those people. And though he was everywhere, he is in this house. And we are his people. And we gather today to eat a meal at an altar. And it's called communion. And what does communion mean? Being one with God. One with Jesus. One with one another. Communion. It is what Thomas experienced that day in the upper room. And it is what we experience here today. And that is the gift of Easter to you and me. It is the gift we receive for believing. The peace of God is what is offered. The peace of God which surpasses our understanding. A peace which sustains us and which promises to give us new life forever and ever and ever. In a world without end. Amen.